Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
If you just allow me to go back in time before most people listening and even people in here knew me. One, I got here, I can't get in. Shout out to Zoo, who got me in here. You don't have an ID yet. You know, someone has to let you in. And I just remember, like, Zoo was mad solid. That's why I always love Zoo. I always rock with Zoo. Like, he was happy to see me. And never met me before, but was happy to see me. I remember him just saying, like, yo, it's just good to see some younger energy, some different energy in here, man. I'm like, cool, bro, let's rock. And, you know, we chatted for a minute about what I was going to do. And I was so nervous and, like, not sure if I was going to be one and done. Not sure if that was, like, just going to be an audition and a dud and never be on air again. So my whole thing was, like, I want to do me. With this 3 hours, I want to, you know, qualify myself with the audience, tell people who I am, where I'm from, how I got here, why I'm even in this chair, on this mic, how I even got to this point. And then I'm like, if I never get the opportunity again, I want there to be some clippable moments that I can post on social media or that I can show my kids or, you know, down the line and be like, yeah, one night I was on WFAN back in the day. Yeah, I did audition. And, you know, I went to school for radio and television, but I never actually, you know, never actually made it, never actually did it. And, yeah, I remember sitting in here with a Talking Nets t-shirt that had all the Nets players on it from that 2021 season. I remember the Mets loss, like I said, and the Yankees didn't play that night. I think the little bit I had about the Yankees are on a winning streak where they were, I think the winning streak ended in Oakland. And I was going to talk about all the moments from the winning streak that kept it going. I was going to talk about the Nets, obviously. I was coming out of doing Talking Nets podcast and Pinstripe Strong podcast. So that was all I really was like preparing for on a weekly, monthly basis. I wasn't preparing for radio shows. I wasn't preparing to do New York sports talk radio. And I remember Zoo during one of the breaks was like, yo, you're going to have to take these Mets calls. And I'm like, bro, I don't even want to do that. They lost. I don't even rock with the Mets like that. I didn't even watch the game. I didn't even think to watch the game. And he's like, yeah, but you know, we got to get the reaction. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. And I think just being straight out of the bleachers, being a Yankee fan all the way, there was one caller, I forget how I said it. I said something along the lines like, yo, I'm not even thinking about the Mets. I don't care about the Mets. And there was some caller that was like, hey, you watch it. You watch it with these Met fans. I'm like, bro, whatever. Fast forward to now, he was right. He was right about these Met fans. You don't want to get on their bad side. But I do. I knew I saw that lane and I took that lane. But these are my Mets. I don't hate the Mets. These are make it happen Mets. Good night for the Met fan tonight. And yeah, I'm reflecting on 4 years. I feel like I did 4 years of high school. I did 5 years of college because I transferred. But if you think about, you know, who you are when you enter as a freshman and who you are when you leave as a senior, I feel like that's where I'm at now. There's so much that I look back on that I didn't know about WFAN, that I didn't know about the radio, that I didn't know about the industry, that I didn't know about just sports and just, man, like the amount of connections and network and people that I've been able to meet and get around and have in my phone from then to now. And then even just like my life, man, I had just got married that summer. My son wasn't born yet. I had just moved in with my wife to like a new apartment. That night, I remember, you know, having to stay up. So I went and bought a big ass coffee at Dunkin' Donuts and like came in here and drank the iced coffee. Now I'm just like, I don't even be on that now. I'm drinking water. It's crazy too. 4 years of working nights, what that does to your like sleep pattern, your biorhythms, you're just like, yeah, it's just different, man. But I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I honestly couldn't imagine doing anything for 4 years. I've never held a job this long. never held any other job this long. Like, and when I first came in, I didn't know what it meant. I had no idea. I'm still learning. I'm still figuring out some things. But for that to come around and for 4 years to hit and for me to even look at myself, I'm like, man, I was like, I got way more hang time now. I think I got better looking in 4 years. I don't even look like this. I don't even act like this anymore. I'm a completely different person. I'm a changed man. I grew up in the 4 years, and it is a wild experience. You know, getting on the number one listened to sports talk radio station in the country, one that's been around for 38 years, longer than I've been alive, and you don't realize until year after year after year, like the effect that I feel now after 4 years of being on WFAN versus just 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It's so different. God is amazing. God is good. I'm extremely blessed. And I thank people that listen to my show consistently. It is you that does it. You don't go anywhere if nobody rocks with you. You don't go anywhere if nobody listens to you, if nobody calls, if no one tells somebody else, yo, I like this dude. I like his style. I like his show. I like what he brings to the airwaves. And same thing with the negativity. It comes with the territory. Like, nobody gets unanimous love. Somebody hates every person that speaks on this radio station. I remember coming in thinking that I could change that online. I'm like, why is there so much negativity in all the comments? Why every tweet, every Instagram post, I'm looking on Reddit, man, they're killing everybody. I'm like, maybe I could come in with some, yeah, right. There's nothing you could do to change that. It's part of the job. It's part of the job. People hate listen. You know, people don't know us, but because they hear from us every day, they form this like opinion of us. Like, you hear it now with how many guys go on vacation. I know I was talking about that a couple weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, we go on vacation though, because that's part of our, like, we get that. Like, that's part of our contract. That's part of our employment, paid time off. And we have families and friends and other business. And like, it's the summertime. So, you know, next week, there won't be a bunch of people off. I know I'm off. I'm off this whole weekend, Thursday to Monday. I'll be back Monday, but I'm off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to be with my wife and my son and give them that time and go see family. And as much as people, you know, complain about the host on this radio station, you sure hate when those hosts leave. 888-808-1019. So going backwards to patch up some things. I read a report about Jesse Winker. I know I was saying Jesse Winker, I don't know when he's going to return. He's yet to resume baseball activities. He's running out of time. They're saying he might be done for the year. Jose Siri is on the mend. And, yeah, we'll see. Tyler McGill is also scheduled to pitch Thursday for Syracuse and another rehab start. So there is some help on the way for the Mets. As I took a call before about, you know, Vientos playing third base or, you know, Marte's got a DH or whatever. I still expect them to kind of, you know, move those guys and move those pieces around. Here's another answer that I got. I got it online and I dug it up and got it myself. I thought, you know, the caller was saying that Syracuse just named a quarterback from my high school as starter. And I missed the key word that he said. He said Westfield. He's from Westfield. Chris is in Bergen County on the fan. What's up, coach?
What's going on, eh? How are we doing tonight?
Good. I know you knew the answer, and as I, you know, went to research during the break, and then I came back and I saw you on the line, I'm like, I'm sure you know exactly what's going on here.
Did you see my Twitter message, or you just saw it off the top?
I saw Ross in Bergen County. Okay, you DM me. Yes, I see it now.
Yeah. Yeah. First off, congrats on the anniversary, bro.
Crazy. Four years.
That's insane.
I've never worked anywhere 4 years. It's been fast 4 years.
I can't believe that I've been talking to you for 4 years now.
Yeah, it's wild.
I remember that first night. That was awesome.
It's wild.
It was good stuff, man. And don't forget, you started watching hockey too now. Forgot about that.
I did become a Devils fan.
Dude, you never watched hockey before.
Never, nah. Just nobody was cutting it on for Lil Keith at the crib. Basketball. I was watching the NBA in the winter. I can't wait. I just saw the promos they're doing with Don LaGreca selling tickets. I can't wait to go back to the Rock and watch the Devils this year.
It's going to be sick. Anyway, all right, back to patching up holes here. the Syracuse quarterback is going to be Steve Angeli out of Burton Catholic, who also is a grad transfer at Notre Dame.
Good. So he's been around for a while.
He's
going to be 12-0 at Burton Catholic?
Yeah, he's got a... Well, he was part of that.
Yeah, state championship there as a senior. Yep. Good. Well, I'll be rooting for him.
And then just to let you know, since you're off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got number 10 in the nation versus number 11 in the nation down in Ocean City.
Oh, I meant to hit you back because
Thursday night.
I'm actually going to Atlantic City and then to Ocean City as I go home down the shore and then go see some people. So I'm like,
East St. Louis is coming in. So that's a national game. That's a national powerhouse game.
That's big. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people down there. They probably will have it on TV.
Oh, big time. I believe it is going to be a live stream, from what I understand.
I want to go. My wife's not going to be down for it, but I want to start exposing my son to like actual live football. Like, I want him to start to see it.
We'll see. Better time than down there.
I know. Maybe I can weasel my way into. I tell her there's something else going on, and
even if you got to get in just a half or something, got to get down there.
I just want him, and like younger kids too. I know they're high school kids, but I want my son to start to see that environment.
Yeah, place is gonna be rocking.
Cool. You're the man, Coach. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Talking football. We're getting close. And, you know, while we're at it, I might as well hit you with the football things that I had stacked up today. You know, I was on the fan yesterday, and I got a call saying, you got to be a Giants fan, bro. You got to rock with us. And I'm saying, listen, this is the only way it'll happen. My son, Jackson McPherson, who my wife is already talking about, he's too fast. Boy ain't even 2.5. My wife told my son that when she met me in college, all I used to do was talk about how fast I was. And now I'm not fast anymore. Now I got the back, got the hammy, got the, you know, it's tough. But I'm like, listen, son, if you got them legs on you, and it's crazy too. I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced this. My first kid, I'm like, I'm seeing he has my body. I'm seeing he has my body type. I'm like in the pool with him. I'm feeling his calves, and I'm like, I think you got little me calves. I'm looking at his mannerism. I'm like, it's starting to come together. I'm like, please, Lord, please, please give me a young athlete. Cause like I did it on my own without a pops. I did it on my own. I'm like, if I can mold and train this kid, here's how we'll become Giants fans. If he takes a liking to Jackson Dart, if he's watching Jackson Dart highlights and he's starting to go to school in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, where he's going to be in elementary school, and kids are talking about, I'm Jackson Dart. His name is Jackson. Not with the X, though. That's provocative. The X, I feel like, for a baby. He's baby Jack. He's the Jack-o-man. We not putting an X in his name. But if my son is like, hey, Dad, I want a Jackson Dart jersey, or we're in the backyard throwing the ball, and he's dropping back like he's Jackson Dart, I work at WFAN, the flagship station for New York Giants football. We live in Hoboken, Jersey City, where I can get to MetLife in 20 minutes. I'm not going to hold the kid up. I'm not. I'm not going against. So the Giants today let you know that when to look for those fresh throwback jerseys, the legacy uniforms. Yeah. So the Giants, they should just, I don't know why they don't just find a way to flip this to being their jersey. I think fans say that all the time. Last year, they started off with the 100 years of Giants football, and they had like some Michigan Wolverine wings on their helmets and like brown pants, and that was terrible with Daniel Jones out there and losing to the Commanders off of all field goals. Remember that? Oh, no, was that the Vikings game? It was a Vikings game they wore those uniforms. That game was terrible, too. But now the vintage white and the legacy uniforms are back for this year. So November 9th, when they face the Chicago Bears, and November 16th versus the Green Bay Packers, they'll have on the vintage white Color Rush uniforms. And then the legacy uniforms return for two games. November 2nd. Versus the San Francisco 49ers, and November 14th versus the Washington Commanders. Speaking of the Washington Commanders, they got it done. They got it done. Scary Terry. So if anybody was telling you, hey, maybe the Giants can get past the Commanders week one because they won't have Terry McLaurin, of course they're going to have Terry McLaurin. It was only a matter of time. His worth and his value to them is his worth and his value to them and no one else. They drafted him. He went through all these random quarterbacks. They finally found a quarterback. They need Jaden Daniels to continue his development and progression, and that's his number one target. So the Commanders and all-pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin have agreed to a three-year extension worth over $96 million. Congrats on getting it done. It was getting ugly for months. Another guy, congratulations, getting a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a payday and getting it done. Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals agreed on a $14 million raise. Just a one-year deal. Just a one-year deal. But brings his $225 salary for the season up to $30 million. They're putting respect on his name. This guy is one of the best. I was saying he was early last year. I remember on the fan talking about, are you paying attention? The Bengals aren't that good. But like this guy is making a case for defensive player of the year. So he gets his pay raise and stays. And he could still hit free agency after this season. So good for Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals paying their guys. They certainly fumbled the ball with that kid out of Texas A&M with the Bengals, Shamar Stewart. What the hell happened with that? They drafted him, and there was some type of language in the contract that basically the Bengals said, like, if you get arrested for something, we don't have to pay you. Yep, drafted in the first round by the Bengals, and with his contract dispute, I don't think he signed that deal. I don't know if he's able to go back to, a month ago, unsigned Bengals pick, not returning to A&M. So what's he about to do? Just take a year off? Anyway, the Bengals get Trey, the Bengals get Trey Hendrickson back, and also the Raiders get Amari Cooper back. What? Amari Coop? Coop's still doing it. And it's funny that, you know, free agent wide receiver Amari Cooper signs with the Vegas Raiders, going back to the team that drafted him, because Jacoby Myers requested a trade out of there today. Yep. I guess he looked at the depth chart. I guess he looked at what Pete Carroll and them are doing. I guess he looked at Geno Smith and whatnot. I was like, I got to get up out of here. I'm requesting a trade. It's not for a money type of thing. I think it's just playing time. I think it's just, I don't see a good role for me, a good fit for me. You guys are going to throw the ball to Brock Bowers 500 times, run the ball with Ashton Jeanty, right? Right. So, yeah, Jacoby Myers asked for a trade. Could the Jets be interested in his services? Former Patriot. I don't know if he ever tore up the Jets. The Jets do need a number two. You really can't sell me on Josh Reynolds, Alan Lazard. I don't even know who else now. Kid Pritchett, Xavier Gibson. Who am I forgetting? I don't know. The Jets. I guess the Jets don't really need that many receivers because it's not like they're going to be really spreading the ball around. It's not like they're going to be really throwing it to them too much. Now here's a segue from former Jet Darrelle Revis, who I guess now is one of the heads of the NFL Players Association. He put out a statement today, kind of speaking up for Micah Parsons. You know, Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys, who was seen laying down on a bench during the preseason game, not wearing his jersey. Feels like he's being held up, being held hostage. Jerry Jones don't want to pay that man, but he will. He will. Jerry Jones just, and trust me, I know because I'm done keeping up with the Joneses. Jerry Jones wants Micah Parsons to just take whatever they give him and tell his agent to, you know, get the paperwork done. And his agent is looking out for his best interest. And the Cowboys have dragged their feet on this. It's gotten ugly. It's stupid. I honestly am now, like, I've completely, you know, release myself from that fandom and ties with the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm kind of rooting for Micah Parsons to sit the year out. I'm kind of rooting for Micah Parsons to shove it in their faces and be like, nah, I'm done. Like, this relationship is fractured. There is no amount of money that you can give me. I don't want to be here. You're not going to win anything anyway. So I don't want to be here. Daryl Revis puts up, you know, as players after every game, we don't get a choice. We're put in front of the media and held accountable, win or lose, yada, yada, yada. And that's why it's unacceptable to see our union leadership avoid that same responsibility. My question last week about a recent ESPN article remains unanswered. And now Jerry Jones feels comfortable publicly humiliating our union. I don't know if filing a grievance is necessary. And he goes on to say that, you know, a fine to Jerry Jones is pennies, but doing nothing is not an option. At the very least, the NFLPA should be saying it does not condone what Jerry Jones is doing, that all options are on the table, and reminding players that ownership, that if ownership ever tries to deal with them directly while represented, they should contact their agent in the union immediately. So let me pause that right there. If you can remember, just a couple weeks ago, Jerry Jones was in camp and he said, I bought the Dallas Cowboys with a handshake and eye contact. Like, yo, Jerry, we need DocuSigns. We need pen to paper. We need official legal documents, bro. Like, what are you talking about? He claims that him and Micah agreed on something a while ago, and they didn't go through his agent, David Mulugeta, who is like a big-time agent. I got a break, but when we come back, I will tell you more about that agent. I'll tell you more about the situation with Micah Parsons. And now, Daryl Revis, the bigger issue is respect. Jerry's actions show that the owners have no problem taking advantage of us. And when our union fails to respond, it sends the message that they'll be able to do the same in the next CBA negotiations if the current leadership remains in place. 888-808-1019. Still taking your calls on the Yankees and Mets, but it's about to be football time. We got to put these football stories out there in the air. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Keith McPherson on the Fan. Still have some more football stories as players are getting cut. Still have some more football stories as players are being traded. We are ready for cut day coming up here today and tomorrow. We will find out, you know, who is who and what is what with our local teams and some other teams. And there's always movement and players ended up in some other places. I think the only guy left out of my conversation tonight before we get back to what you guys wanted to talk about was Hendon Hooker, the quarterback out of Tennessee, who was hurt when he was drafted. And he's kind of spent, I think, the last 2 years. I think this might be his third year. Yes, he was, you know, a third-round pick by the Lions, and Dan Campbell just said literally he needed a change of scenery, and the Lions released him. And I think I saw Rami was the first one that tweeted, this is a name to pay close attention to for the Jets. Of course, connecting the dots there, the Jets having Aaron Glenn is their head coach coming over from Detroit. This kid was there. They drafted him. He's been around him. Tanner Engstrand. If the Jets are looking for some more depth behind Justin Fields, obviously Tyrod Taylor not ready to go yet. They just cut Martinez. Maybe they take a flyer on bringing in Hendon Hooker. Other than that, yeah, I'll get to the David Mulugeta stuff later and the Micah Parsons stuff later. Like I said, I just think Micah Parsons, he never was really like on this like he's on now as far as being insubordinate and going against. And I think they've just pushed this guy to the point of no return where he knew what he was dealing with Jerry Jones. And yeah, I think he's willing to sit this year out and just hit free agency next year and go to wherever he goes. And we'll see how that all works out. 888-808-1019 as I'm watching the Mets highlights and the Yankees highlights. It's good to get a win, but got to follow it up with series wins tonight. Let's go to MoPro and Passaic on the Fan. What's up, man?
Yo, Keith. On the Fan this morning, they were talking about that Ben Rice is the most polished player on the team. Do you agree with that or no? Like, better than Judge, too.
Ben Rice is the most polished player on the team? As far as
yeah, that's what?
Like,
saying.
His mechanics? His defensive?
Yeah.
I've seen him not scoop plenty of those Volpe throws at first base, even behind the dish. He's good at framing, but you know, I gave him some credit tonight for throwing the ball. I've seen him make some mistakes there. He just made a mistake in the Red Sox series behind the plate. I don't know who said he's the most polished player.
It was probably the 2 o'clock show or the.
I don't know. I don't know where we. I mean, none of them are really the most polished. They're not the most polished team.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess you could say Judge. When he's out in right field, he usually plays a clean game. They don't play clean games. When they do, they win. Sure, I don't know. Ben Rice, to me, I don't know if polished is the word that I would use with Ben Rice, especially because he's a DH, first baseman, catcher. He's kind of moved around in those three spots, still figuring out how to play first base, still really figuring out how to play, you know, be the primary catcher. He has good at-bats. He puts the bat to ball. I don't want to say he's not polished. I just don't think I've ever used the term polished to describe him, and I didn't catch that earlier today.
Yo, thank you, Keith. Have a good vacation.
Thanks for the call. I will. Yeah, I'm going to ride down and do the whole shore trip and get down to South Jersey and see what's good for the weekend there, you know, Labor Day weekend, the last holiday weekend of the summer, and then we lock in, and I'm ready to lock in. I can't wait for football to start, where there are football games every Thursday, Sunday, Monday, and then we mix in this pennant race, this race really for the postseason, as the Mets and Yankees are fighting for their postseason lives and scoreboard watching and trying to keep teams at bay, and both have a very tricky schedule coming up. Like when we come back for September, that's a gauntlet for the Yankees. That is an absolute, and it's a gauntlet for the Mets too. That first 2 weeks for the Mets and the Yankees is going to tell us a lot. And depending on how they play through that stretch, there may not be enough time to gain ground. Like, it might be pretty definitive by the time we hit the second week of a Thursday night football, right? The first Amazon Thursday night football game on the 11th, because that first September 4th Thursday night is on NBC, Dallas versus Philly. So, yeah, here we go, folks. Here we go. Ross is in Bergen County on the Fan next. What's up, Ross?
Keith, what's up, man? Happy anniversary, bro.
Thanks, bro. It's been a long time, and I remember, you know, you just graduated, right? So, like, you know, you being a freshman, right, going through 4 years of high school through the time that I've been on air.
Bro, I start college tomorrow.
Oh, wow. And congrats. Like, good luck.
Like, it's just crazy. Not like, I appreciate it, but just, like, reminiscing, like, I'm pretty sure I started calling you the summer I finished grade school.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't calling you right away, I don't think, like pretty early on. And here we go, how far we've come. I don't think I was ever touted a young Jedi, because I remember there was, I think me and Josh are like the two youngest regular callers I think you get. But I remember early on, there was like that whole group of kids. I guess they were from the same school or whatnot.
Yeah, there was a wave of young just Jedi. Young voices calling into my show very early, which is a good sign. And a lot of these young guys have grown up now, like yourself. Like, you know, if you started listening at 14 and you're 18 now, much has changed.
It's crazy, bro. Yeah, man, I'm leaning towards unk status now. I'm no longer a young Jedi. I got years to go being an unk in terms of the callers. But, hey, man, but all kidding aside, you know, congrats to you, bro. I know, like, you know, to a lot of us, you know, from the podcast versus radio world, it's not like you kind of built up as a producer and got there. Like, I'm in the podcast world too, but a lot of people, you know, never really heard your name. And the fact you were able to build a brand for yourself, and the fact that, you know, we look at you like everybody else, you know, in terms of like the every night slate, you know, you're right there with the big three, you know, afternoon, midday and whatnot. I think a lot of people don't look at late night like that, but you've been able to do that, bro. So all the credit to you, and here's to many more years, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, Mets, bro, I'm not going to let the W on the calendar. You know, they just caused so much damage in the past 2-3 weeks. Like, they put up 13 runs. Everyone not named Senga that took the mound was pretty money tonight. And I don't think once I got up off my couch or cracked a smile or anything, bro. Like, there's so much. I don't really pull off the roller coaster thing, because every game I'm watching, I know you're pulling up to every Yankee game still. And we still watch, but just like the emotional investment, they just take the life out of you, bro.
No, I hear you. You know, I wasn't too geeked up watching the Yankees put up 10 runs today, because it's just like, it's kind of like they owe us. It's kind of like you're just getting, like, you're paying your debt back. Like, thanks. This is what you're supposed to do.
Dude, they put up runs. Philly score. I mean, the 3-0, all I was thinking, like, oh, my God, bro. If anybody in this organization thinks Senga is still ace material, that just scares me. Honestly, if there's one takeaway from tonight, because this better not be that, you know, they lose the next two, and I see Ben Yoel saying at least it wasn't a sweep. That better not be what happens first and foremost. But let's say, you know, they build off of this. Best case scenario, they build off of this. I'm still pretty dang worried about Senga, bro, because I know at least one person, multiple people, look at this guy still as the ace, and I can't trust the guy to get three outs. And I think they were talking about a stat like Scuba and one other, or Skeens and one other person have like some crazy stat, like consecutive first innings without allowing a run. And I think Senga was right there. And it feels like the last four first innings he's had, we've already been behind the eight ball because of him. And it's a legitimate problem now. He was looked at as like kind of what Peterson is now, like the one go-to starter we had. And now he's the furthest thing from it. And even despite all like the runs they put up today, and you see Torrens, and all of a sudden Taylor's probably the hottest bat in the lineup, which is insane. It's kind of like and they brought up in the postgame what you say about Volpe and bringing in Caballero and having like a little bit of a competition. I think bringing in Mullins was kind of a wake-up call to Taylor. And we didn't even really need the bat from him. He was only there solely for the glove. I think he knew it too. But all of a sudden, him being one of their few productive hitters is nuts. But through all of this, you know, big picture, Tang is still a problem, bro. And I don't think the final score should kind of...
No grace
that,
for Kodai Senga going on short rest, on 4 days rest?
No. He's the ghost fork of Senga pass, bro. Who are you going to call? It ain't Senga. You're going to call the bullpen in the fourth inning when you see him starting the game. That's who you're going to call.
Thanks for the call, Russ. I don't know. My whole thing going into the game tonight was like, what can this guy give you when, you know, he needs the 6 days of rest? Like, they have treated him with special care since he, you know, came to the Mets. And I don't know, I felt like he did enough. It wasn't pretty. I know at first it gave you the feelings of here we go again. We're down 3-0 to the Phillies. The game starts off with a triple. But all, like I said before, all of these things work together. The bullpen has...
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Has to be ready to pick up the starting pitcher and the lineup has to hit. You score 13 runs, it doesn't matter that the starting pitcher only went four innings again. It's like, all right, we overcame that. And you were due for that after not being able to put up enough runs to win the game coming out of Atlanta. Atlanta is different. Atlanta sees the Mets, they turn up. Phillies, though, I think the Phillies are still scarred from last year a little bit. So good on the Mets going out there and handling business in your ballpark in front of 42,000 fans, you know, and getting right. And depending on what happens from here, as Ross was just talking about, you know, how miserable. Like, think about this last month of August. They got swept by the Guardians, and Gavin Williams almost no-hit him. Juan Soto's biggest moment as a Met, his Mets moment, is hitting the home run that broke up the no-hitter. Then they go out to Milwaukee and face David Stern's former team, and they could have won all three of those games, and they found a way to get swept and lose. They got swept back-to-back series. And it's like, all right, whatever, no biggie. We'll go to Atlanta. We'll hang 13 on the Braves. We got to sweep the Braves. We got to take, or the Braves will come to Citi Field. All right, they come to our place. We'll put 13 on them. But then the next day was that 9-run inning. And then there's a hangover from that. You end up losing the series to the Braves. And then that turns into a 3-game losing streak, losing the first game against the Mariners, which, you know, 20 runs were scored between the two teams. But then they bounce back with Nolan McClain, beat the Mariners that Saturday. Then they go out to the Little League World Series and have the Little League Classic and take the series from a Mariners team that people were putting respect on. Speaking of the Mariners, don't look now, Yankee fans. Cal Raleigh has 50 home runs. So he's the first catcher to 50 home runs. Do you think this guy can't hit 12 home runs in the next month and change? How does he not hit 12 home runs? How does he not break Judge's record? How does he not? Because do they stop pitching to him? No, they're not going to do that. They're not walking him. I'm like, how does Cal Raleigh not get it done? Anyway, we'll go back to the phones. Just you know, spitballing some things. I don't have to finish. You guys know what happened against the Nationals. You know what happened this weekend against the Braves. I felt like tonight for the Mets is one of those nights where, like, Luis Torrens, Mark Vientos, Marte, McNeil, everybody, like, the bottom of the order, Tyrone Taylor came through. The bullpen, this super pen looked the part, didn't give up a hit. I feel like tonight is a night where you'll look back if they go on a stretch run here where, like, they have to run the table if they're trying to get the division. And I know some of you feel like there's no shot that they can get the division. Okay. But if they're trying to, you know, potentially host a wild card series, all right, let's just keep it a make the postseason. If they're just going to make the postseason, they still got to kind of run the table here. So this is a good start. There's no turning back from here. Can't have another lull. Can't drop the next two to the Phillies and then split against the Marlins. You know what I'm saying? Like, got to go and build momentum off of all of the positive things from tonight. The bullpen doing the job. Scoring with runners in scoring position. You know, hitting consistently. Passing the baton. Fighting back. Scoring in the later innings. Tagging them and tacking on. Inning after inning after inning. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. Sophia is in Eastchester on the fan. Hello, Sophia.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good, you know, doing the show.
Congratulations for your 4 years.
Thanks.
I knew from the very start when I heard you on the radio, you were a star.
Oh,
you were going to make it.
I appreciate that. I didn't. Yeah. It was hard in the beginning. I always tell the stories that I thought I was terrible.
I know. I love the way you introduced us to your family and your journey, and you were terrific.
Wow.
And you still are.
Thank you. This is my first time speaking to you in 4 years, I believe. I don't know if you've ever called me before, so thanks.
No, I never have. But I heard you tonight on the radio. You said it's your 4 years, and it was like, I'm calling Keith. I'm going to let him know what I think of him. You're terrific.
No, you're terrific, Sophia.
You're great to listen to.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Your radio voice is excellent. And, you know, I thought it would miss, like, the loser. But, you know,
yeah,
you've done a great job.
Thank
you. Really have.
Thank you very much. And, you know, that's something that I didn't mention because I never did what people thought I was hired to do, replace Steve Summers. It still hasn't been done. He hasn't been replaced. And I was just online talking to Mike, and he said, congratulations, Keith, been listening since day one. You do a great job. Love it when you have Steve Summers on. Any plans to have him on in the future? And I said, you know, I love Steve. Like, legit, like, just, like, to see Steve Summers in here. I met Steve on Christmas Eve, the night I did my, you know, the first Christmas Eve show where, like, you know, you're new, you take all those shifts. And just, I had heard him for years and known of him for years, legit legend icon. And the way that he approached me and the conversations we had the first couple times and, like, giving me his landline phone number, and I call that number and only he answers and he picks it up and has given me advice through good and bad and shared some stories with me. It's like, I made it a point to bring Steve on. Nobody told me to. Nobody asked me to. Nobody made me to or made me do it. I made it a point to bring Steve on every month that I was on. I literally would schedule it with him, with the producer, whatever, because I wanted to keep his name alive, his voice alive, his takes alive, his style alive on these airwaves. I know there were, like, coming in, there's just way more people that felt the type of way about losing his show than picking up mine or listening to mine or getting used to mine. And so I just felt like it was like a duty to, like, keep that going. But now, you know, if you're wondering why I don't do it now, what really happened was Steve started to do some shows. I listened to all of his fill-in shows, and I loved it, man. Shout out to my boy TJ. And, like, you know, TJ listened to Steve, like, growing up. I remember TJ texting me about, like, yo, man, can you get me on? Like, I've always wanted to talk to Steve. like, is there a way for you to get me on? I'm like, you'll get on, keep calling. He just wanted to tell Steve a story about, like, you know, what he meant to him. And I heard so many of those stories. And Steve is the best. I never replaced him. And I never will. I'm not, that's, I said, I, you know, I can't walk in his shoes. I'm not trying to. It just, the way that it happened, you know, Steve is 77 years old and it was time. And they took a shot in the dark with me and it worked. It worked, but it wasn't as far as like people like, oh, this is Steve Summers' replacement. I think that's how it was written in the Post and some other places. I was never Steve Summers' replacement. I think I was just an injection of so many different things to the fan. And I'm glad that it took. And you know, I would have Steve on if he wasn't. He started to do his like Sunday shows. He even started to fill in for me. There were even some times where I wouldn't be on, and it just was perfect to have Steve, you know, fill in for me. And then he started doing the podcast, the Me Here, You There podcast that he does with Vincent Von Vincent, with Paulie. And what I noticed as I would have him on, or he would do his shows, I didn't want him to have to gear up for like my show and take away from his show. So if anybody's wondering why I've stopped that, it isn't because I've like grown into, oh, I'm Keith McPherson now. Steve has his own lane, his own platform, and I want him to keep his fastball there. I want him to, you know, put his voice and his style and his takes and his emotion into his podcast. And I don't need to see, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not paying him for it. He's just done me a solid. And I don't know. I felt like once he got his own shows and once he got his own podcast up, like if you want to hear Steve, go there. But I would love to have Steve on. I just, you know, like I said, kind of moved on from that. Like I don't have to, you know, honor him or keep his voice alive once he was doing his own shows and doing his own podcast. Shout out to Bill in Garden City who texts me. It's not that I forgot about this, but I just was like, yo, this was, I got to bring that up. This was an instant classic. He said, I remember one of the first nights when you started, we spoke about Kobe and you mentioned how your brother passed away and how he loved Kobe, right? He said, right then and there, I knew you were a good guy, very humble, and I'm so happy for you. God bless you. And what I remember that day, it was the anniversary of Kobe passing, and I listened to the station all day, and not one person brought Kobe up. And I thought that was crazy because I couldn't stop thinking about Kobe the whole day and thinking about where I was. And so when I did my show that night, I told the story of the first time I ever went to Madison Square Garden and my brother taking me to Madison Square Garden when he was 22, fresh out of FIT, like freshly graduating out of college, living in Astoria, Queens, and me taking the train up as a 12-year-old from Long Branch to New York Penn Station, meeting him, going to see the Lakers play the Knicks. I don't know how he got the tickets or whatever. What I would give to have a picture of my brother and I at that game. But I think, you know, when I told that story and I started to think in my mind's eye of like that experience and that time and, you know, Kobe passing and my brother passing, they were the same age. They were the same graduating class. That's why my brother rocked with him. Like, you know, and when we kind of, you know, watch Kobe come up together. I don't know. I broke down. I did not know I was going to cry. I just lost it in a way of just like grief and emotion and just like full, I don't know. And when you do that on air, it cuts through. When you do that on air, people hear it and they feel it. And I don't know. I know I reached a lot of people that night, and that was completely like unscripted, unplanned. It just was organic. And like, I feel like we need more of that in the radio. I think we need less of the planning, less of the contrived, less of the like hot takes or shtick or I'm going to say this or do this. Like, just be real, man. Just be real. Chris is in Syracuse before we get to the next break. What's up, Chris?
Hey. I really enjoyed what you just said, and you're right. We need to be real all day. Okay, Keith, I haven't talked to you. I second time caller, called you last summer, but I'm curious kind of what your thought is, maybe Tommy DeVito. They might cut him, and I'm a Raiders fan. We need a backup quarterback. I would love to have him.
With Aiden McConnell or Aiden O'Connell going down, that's why they made the move today to go get Kenny Pickett. Now, you might not be too excited about Kenny Pickett, but I think he's in line.
I didn't realize that, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he got traded today for a fifth-round pick from the Browns to the Raiders. So here comes backup quarterback from the Super Bowl-winning Eagles last year, first-round draft pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers a few years back, the pride of the Pitt Panthers and Ocean Township High School. Kenny Pickett is coming to Vegas. Now, Tommy DeVito, I have a sneaky suspicion that they don't want to cut Tommy DeVito. They want to keep that group together. Tommy DeVito, I think, is so important for the development of Jackson Dart because he's been in the system the longest, and those two guys hit it off right away. I think they have similar vibes. They just got a little extra sauce to them, a little extra seasoning. They watch Love Island together. I think they hang out together. Like, I think they're going to try their best to carry four and keep Tommy DeVito around and not lose him to another NFL team, because he just what he did in the last preseason game, and even like Wandale Robinson was talking about, he can play in his league. Somebody's going to take a flyer on Tommy DeVito, and you never know how the season might go. You might end up playing against him.
I have a soft spot because I watched him play here in Syracuse. So, yeah,
right.
I'm a big fan.
And a lot of people listening watched him play high school ball in Jersey. And I think we all love the Tommy Cutlet story of him playing for the Giants and living at home with his mom, with his parents. So, yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. Dable said, you know, Dable was interviewed today, and he said, you know, we asked, he's done everything we've asked of him. Like, Tommy DeVito is a guy that was starting for this team, being a backup, started some games last year, whatever. Like, he's done whatever they have asked of him. And I feel like they look at him as part of their group, their family, the dynamic of this team, and they don't want to see him go.
So I'm psyched for this whole thing with Don LaGreca. Now, I'm a Rangers fan, but I'm a big fan. I have the Gotham app, so I'll be watching Devils games.
Sure.
Rooting them on.
Devils Rangers preseason game will be here before we know it, and I didn't even think about that. There are some, you know, Rangers fans that got to hear Don LaGreca, and now with him coming over to the Devils, you're going to want to hear some of those calls. It'll be a familiar voice, and I know that rivalry is fierce, but maybe that'll bring a little bit of Rangers fans over into watching some of the Devils games. Maybe not rooting for them, but watching just to hear Don and see what this Devils team looks like this year.
Don earned it, you know. He's been doing what he's been doing forever, and he
used to be over here. Yeah, used to be here at WFAN. Thanks for the call, Chris. Yeah, shout out to Don LaGreca. He's a real one too. I went to see Don before I got here. I went to see Don Kaster and Rosenberg live at the House of Q in Hoboken, and I have a picture with all of them, and I remember I sent it to Don, and I can even go back. April 28th, 2022, he DM'd me. He said, "You're killing it at night, man. I enjoy listening to you." That's coming from a guy that, you know, I don't have to tell you about Don LaGreca. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got an hour left. Full rack of calls. Will, Tom, Jay, Mike, and Tyson. We'll get to you guys. 1 hour left. And then your favorite unk, T.O. Al, coming up at 2 o'clock tonight, filling in for Big Mac. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Fan.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.